Hey everybody, welcome to Site Lap. We are looking ahead to this weekend's Supercross race in Foxborough, Mass. It's brought to you by Rock and Turf, Maxxis Tires, and Speed Strap. Three really good partners we're stoked to have on board. I'm your host, David Pingree, as always, joined by Bruce Murata at Whiskey Throttle Media. And our special guest today is none other than Jason Lawrence. J-Law, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me, dude. Stoked to be a part of it.
Yeah, man. Well, this is kind of your neck of the woods, so the Northeast, and so we're looking at weather, and of course this season has been just largely a shit show when it comes to weather. Lots of mud races, which if you like mud races, it's great, but I would say the next three rounds have potential to be wet, and we're looking at the weather this weekend in Foxborough. It's like 60% chance tomorrow, Thursday. 90% chance Friday, so it's gonna rain. They'll probably have it built and
Yeah.
covered, I would imagine. And then Saturday right now shows a 25% chance, but really just partly cloudy, maybe some sprinkles here and there. So we may get lucky, but there's gonna be, even when they cover it, you know how it goes. The water rolls
Yeah.
down into the transitions. And even if the surface is hard and good, it's gonna have ruts in between all the jumps. The start straight will probably be muddy. You know, that's just how it goes. But you were saying, Jason, you kind of looked back and said, when this dirt's dry, it sucks.
Yeah, I mean, as far as being a technical track, you're not going to get it if this is dry. If you looked at, say, 2022 when they raced here, it had no rain at all, and the track looked simple, by, comparing it to the other tracks. But this track is one of them that when you look at the calendar at the beginning of the year, you think, man, this one's probably going to be affected by weather, no doubt. You think that probably for three or four races throughout the year, but then we've already had that. Four races affected by weather, what, like six races in. So, I mean, it's crazy we're still dealing with that, but I think that we're not the only people that see the weather. So I think the track guys will have it handled. And I think the fact that there's not going to be a good chance of rain on Saturday is huge because the track will be good. I mean, you look at the Seattle track and how good that was, it should be way better than that. And it should be a technical track. Like maybe back when it was Marv and Tomac, when they had that battle, came down to the last lap, how the track was that day. I'd imagine it would be something just like that. It's like deep and rutted. The corners get real sharp because you got to come in so sharp and come out so sharp. I think that's a good track. And I think it's a good track for Webb, a real good track for Webb, or even like any of the guys that came from the European, like probably like Vial. I think that's also like Musquin, why he was so good at that. When those guys have the track that tightens up so much like that, it like mimics a European track. Like those little tight arena crosses, it's so narrow and like so sharp. Well, when they got to come in on track so developed, they like all seem to shine. So I think those dudes will do good, but I think it's not a hindrance for Jet, but I don't think this is where Jet really is going to shine.
I definitely don't think it plays into his strengths. I think if the track's normal, he's got an advantage on everybody. But in those conditions, you're right. I think maybe AP is strong, Webb is strong, like Eli's strong. So for racing, it might be great. And it's awesome that there's not really calling for rain on Saturday, so fans that are showing up aren't going to be getting pissed on all day long. So that's nice.
Yeah, no ponchos for this weekend.
Well,
Yeah.
especially because they don't let umbrellas into the stadiums, like. I learned that the hard way at San Diego, which makes sense, I guess. You're blocking everybody, but I'm like, so wait, I got to sit in this rain for 5 hours with no umbrella? They're like, yes, sir.
Jason, were you a fan of mud races?
I
Like
was,
racing
dude. I
them?
mean, I love mud races at any level. Like when you're not the best, you love a mud race because it's your chance. Like it's your chance to make something happen that you ordinarily can't make happen. But I also grew up riding in the mud. So then once I was like I excelled over the guys. So it was when I wasn't a top 10 guy, I knew I could get a top 10 in the mud. And then when I was a top 10 guy, I knew I could probably get a podium. And then once I was kind of like one of the guys that could podium, I was just loving mud races, any of them. The mud practices in the outdoors, I'd shine in that. If it was like a muddy first or second practice, I could get a good lap.
I always remember you just doing good no matter what the conditions were, So,
Yeah, you
yeah.
East Coast guys are good in the mud. I grew up in Arizona racing, and there is no such thing as mud. Like, so I sucked.
Bluegroove,
I
hard
always
pack.
sucked in the mud, dude. Terrible.
Like, what would you say Jet grew up riding? You know, like they're, you know, like we know that by guys where they grew up in the US, you know, like Anderson, you would assume like, hey, yeah, he's good on hard pack. Guys like Webb, you're like, hey, he's from back east, you know, he's good at this. Hampshire, you're like, he's gonna be good in the sand. What is the Australian or what is Jet's path? You know, it's so different that like, what does he shine on?
I don't
I think he
think that
shines on this kind of track, not rough, like 2022. Even though he got beat here in 2022, that track, if it was like that this weekend, I don't think anyone's going to be close to him. You know, smooth and like.
yeah, I think that the thing that helped Jet, I don't know about the Australian tracks. I would just be guessing. I know they do have some sand, they do have some hard pack. I don't know how much they get mud races, but remember, he went to Europe for a few seasons while Hunter was
Yeah.
racing, and he was doing like the EMX or whatever the amateur thing was. And he got really good in deep sand because that's where they had to practice. And then in Europe, you're gonna get good in the mud because it's constantly freaking muddy. I think that's
Yeah.
why those Euros come over, you know, to your point, and they're all dialed in on ruddy, muddy, adverse conditions because they don't overgroom the tracks there. And I think we have a tendency to outdoors here, like we rip them all deep. They're all the same kind of, you know. They'll have
Yeah.
hard, shitty dirt with rocks in it, or they'll have deep, deep sand or mud. And so their guys are just more well-rounded, I think. And so I think that
Yeah.
probably helped Jet a lot prior to coming here. But, you know, he doesn't seem to have a lot of holes in his game. But like to your point, I think this mud is not maybe his favorite, is what it looks like.
Yeah, you don't really have to have a hole in your game necessarily to have a bad race in a mud race, though. You know,
No.
I mean, I'm not saying that's what we're gonna have, but like anybody would be rubbing their hands together at the thought of a mud race if they're not Jet. You know, no matter what, just thinking the chances of him messing up are so much higher.
Of course, when it's all ruddy and technical, doesn't, I mean, look, Jet's
Yeah.
crashed how many times this year out front by himself or wherever, just, you know, catch
Yeah.
a rut funny and it happens.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's take a look at the Speed Straps 250 preview class here. We have to identify if this is an east or west because you don't know anymore. They got East Coast cities holding West Coast rounds. Like, who knows what the hell's going on? I do believe this is East Coast. Am I right?
It's
Better
East
be
Coast.
North Jeez. All right. So, Bruce, kind of catch us back up with who's where and the points in this class. We've had a few weeks off.
Yeah, so for the 250 East points, Cameron McAdoo is leading at 98, and then seconds Tom Vial 2 points down. Third is Pierce Brown with 11 points down. Fourth is Hayden Deegan with 16 points down. Fifth is Cody Shock with 19 points down. Sixth is Seth Hamaker with 26 points down. Seventh is Daxon Benick with 27 points down. Eighth, Max Anstein 36 points down, which still trips me out that at one point he was the points leader this year. Ninth, Chance Hymus at 38 down, and then 10th is Jalik Swole with 40.
Okay, so I mean, let me start with this question. Do you guys think Hayden Deegan's out of this? 16 points down. What do we got? Three rounds left to run. One of them, two of them being actually east-west shootouts.
Well, I mean, it's for how this season's been going so far. I mean, it's all over the place if you want my opinion. You know, I mean, for all we know, Cameron could finish a ninth and Max Anstein could win a race again. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think the big kicker here are going to be these East-West showdowns because if he can go out and get a win at, let's say, both of those events, right? It's Vegas and Tennessee, if I've got that right. You could have McAdoo easily get a fifth or sixth. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
easily. And then all of a sudden, you're talking about a pretty good point swing. You know, now you're talking about that's 12 points just on those two alone. I don't know. What do you think, Jason?
I think Tom Vial is kind of a savage when it comes to the championship thing. Like, did you see how he was with Geertz? The last year he raced in the MXGP championship, and when it came down to it and he really knew who his competition was, it was like he has like another level. And he was
Yeah.
like, he's ferocious too, if you know what I mean. Like, he's not a big dude, but I became a fan of how he rode just from that. Like, you'd have to check it out, like some highlights if you haven't seen it. But he goes for the takeouts, he does all that. And I think now that he knows McAdoo's his guy, I think he probably will ride a little different, and I think it'll be real easy to see both those dudes maybe on the ground and really benefit someone like Hayden or the dudes, you know, like Smith, whoever it is right outside there to get in on the championship. Or it could just go, he could bully his way, but I see him like kind of like turning a corner on how you see him approach the race now that he's really in the championship and knows who he's going to race against.
That's interesting because you're right. It was kind of the last round. Cameron obviously got the win and the points lead, and it hurt Vial. But prior to that, like Daytona and the round afterwards, Alabama, I believe, Vial kind of was like looking like he was the man. And you're right. Now it's kind of come down to a two-man race where he's got a target on McAdoo's back, and maybe it will change the way he approaches it. You're right. He's, I mean, this is a two-time world champion. Dude knows how to get it done. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's figured Supercross out. I think the one thing that still hinders him is whoops. That's where he crashed at the Triple Crown. Like, if the whoops are a regular set of whoops, it's still his Achilles heel. Cameron will eat him up.
Yeah, but there's no more whoops anymore.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Although you said there's whoops.
He's getting better at the whoops all the time, you know, like at a rapid rate, probably more so than you could say McAdoo's getting better at anything else. So that's not really playing in his favor either. So, yeah, Tom Vial did crash in the one race in the whoops, but you figure he's probably going to be better in the whoops, and the whoops aren't getting any harder. So I don't know. I mean, he kind of like mentally won the championship overseas against Iago Gerts. You know, like he like broke him. I felt like not even talking shit on him. It was just like, he was serious about it. You know, it was like a two-horse race, and Gerts kind of had it, and he would just run it in on him, beat him, and it seemed like, man, you don't want to be racing against that guy in a championship type thing. That's why I was stoked when he came over here. So now's his chance, I guess, kind of to show you.
All right. Well, you were saying that this weekend there's actually, at least according to the track map, there's like a set of whoops that's pretty long, and they were talking about
– Yeah, there is, but I was – Do you think that's probably because they created the track maps before they created this new nine whoop thing?
Mm.
You think that's all it is?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
The
what
track
do you think?
Looks great. I think that's all it is that they didn't update the track maps yet because, you know, they're all put out way early.
That's true.
But after that, the track is technical. Like, it does, like, a whole section after that. It was like you cross the start, like, three times in a – just looks like a section where you could really be fast, you know, like, and if it's rutted, you could make up a lot of time, even though all the jumps are on the rest of the track. It's going to be like, seems like something that would either really favor Jet or, well, I'll name the two best guys, or Cooper, you know, depending on more so how the track develops, if it develops. But if the track's going to be like 2022, you can't go around it any faster than Jet Lawrence can go around it when the conditions are like that. So it's got to be broke down or else the track's not going to be that interesting, but if it's rutted up, it's going to be good.
Okay, so let's talk about this 250 class here before we bump up. You're on the Vial train here. You think he's going to come in and start asserting his dominance with these last few rounds?
I mean, I think he could. I don't know how it's going to work for him, but I think that's how he's going to come into it. I mean, I think, at least judging from the past, and when he did that in the past, he won. So I don't think the dude is bummed on how he did it. So I'm sure he'd do the same thing. And I don't know. I think it might open the door though, just as much, because he could end up on the ground just as easy as anything. And then that's the way you can gain chunks of points if you're Hayden Deegan or someone. I would love to see it be Hayden and Vial. You know, like, it seems like they would be just at each other's throat for a championship. Those dudes would be good.
Yeah.
McAdoo's too happy already.
I want to see what happens because McAdoo and Vial are thinking title, right? They're like focused on the championship. Smith, Deegan, you know, all the rest of the guys, they're pretty much out of the points. They got to go out and just try to win races. And Smith's capable of doing it.
Well,
Thrasher's capable of doing it.
Well, and Smith is West Coast.
Sorry, who?
Deegan, it's okay.
Pierce Brown is who I was trying to say. There's four or five guys that can win. They're out of the championship, but they can still go in and, you know, try to steal a win out of this series, which they need to. So that's what I'm saying. You got McAdoo and Vial focused on each other, and these other guys are like, screw you guys, I want to win this race. So I think that could make for a cool dynamic. I see Deegan winning this race. I think he's healed up after being banged up early in the season. He's posted a few video clips of him riding, and he looks like he looked at the end of last year, just really aggressive, really sharp. And I think he's been riding hurt the first part of this series. I think he got rattled. That first crash at the opener threw him off. I feel like he's refocused, and he's going to come in and go, I'm going to at least win out. I might not win this title, but I'm going to win some freaking races. So then that puts McAdoo and Vial in a weird place where they got to play smart, knowing he's not really in the title fight. If they don't make big mistakes, they just need to worry about one another. I don't know. What do you think, Bruce?
Dude, I'm going with what Jason, dude. With I think Vial's got a lot of – I mean, I think he's got a lot of momentum right now, and he's a good starter too. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm going with Vial, and then I'm kind of just between McAdoo and Deegan for second or third. But I don't know. I just think I think Vial is on fire right now, dude. And I think he's – you know, with him only being 2 points down, I think he's going to make some stuff happen this weekend. I really do. So.
All right. Well, if you're putting money down, it sounds like Vial. I'm outvoted here. All right. Let's move on to the Rock and Turf 450 preview. This class certainly got really interesting last week. So I guess just start with, what is obviously our two championship contenders are Jett and Cooper. What about the Elis? What about like, you know, Rocks? Is anyone else going to step in and get a win, or is it kind of down to these two?
I think, I don't think this is what Eli signed up to do, but I think Eli is going to play a role in the championship, being like, now that he's coming hot, he has the capability to finish between Cooper and Jett. And I think that'll be huge, you know. As far as Eli taking that step right at this time, I don't really think he's going to be in it for the championship, just because I don't see either Jett or Cooper messing up, you know, like to that level. Yeah. And I don't really think Cooper is going to like get that big opening either. You know, like I think maybe last weekend or last race with Bam Bam was the big chunk that Cooper's going to get gifted. And I think the rest of it will just be having to beat Jett. And when he beats Jett, it's not that big of a deal for 3 points. If he gets Eli in the middle there or someone else that rides good, I mean, that'll be huge in the championship.
Hey, Jason, we talked about this on the previous shows too, where, you know, at this point, do you think would Eli help out Cooper as a teammate, you know, for this championship? Or is Tomac going to just go for the win?
I think he will. I don't think he'll go out there and, you know, like be riding for Cooper in a sense. But I think when the situation comes up and he sees and he knows he's behind him, I mean, that's going to just make it any little bit easier that Eli Tomac's going to make it on you to make a pass is huge. You know what I mean? And it's like, I don't think you're going to see Eli like be like a pullover type guy and let you get the spot, but I think Eli has what it takes to ride hard enough to beat Jett or to put Jett in a position where Jett has to ride over his head and could crash, you know, like they'll have big implications. And I think a big thing about it, why I favor Cooper in the championship, is because like, God, Jett's never really been through it. Like the, you know, like Cooper knows in his head, like, man, whenever I won my championship, I was shaking, you know, when he won his 450 championship. So he knows that's what Jett's dealing with no matter what, you know? So you got the mentally tough Cooper Webb, and then you give him that knowledge that he knows for sure Jett's shaking in his boots, you know, no matter what he wants to put on and act like. So then you got Cooper, he's, you know, it's like a bully now. He's going to come out, he's really going to bully him. I think it's going to get tough for Jett, honestly, to have Cooper this close in the championship. I'd say Cooper's got to be the favorite. And then the fact that Eli steps it up and shows that now he can finish between them, that was horrible for Jett to see. Yeah. You know, he don't want that. That would be like essentially Hunter coming out and beating Cooper. You know, you'd be like, oh, crap, look at that. You know, that's a big deal. It's not his brother, but, you know, it's his teammate, and it's going to have the same amount of points impact. So it's a big deal.
Man, that's – I'm with Jason on that one, Ping. I've said that before, too.
Let me ask you guys this, because I didn't ever really think this through until you just said that. But every championship Jets won, it's been by a pretty good points margin. Like, he's had cushion. I think the only thing that you could say where he had pressure was the SMX championship, where he beat Roczen, and he had to beat him in those motos, right? And he did. But his outdoor championship, his 250 championships, he kind of won them going away. He's never had this scenario where you got Cooper Webb up your ass, you know what I mean? And like pushing you. And I'm surprised we haven't seen Cooper doing the mind games, whether it's the finger guns or it's the,
I think you're going to see him. I think you'll see him. And I mean, it's a huge thing to think about that. Like, when you're on the starting line and you're like, man, I'm nervous. You're not thinking I'm nervous, but so is the other guy. At least I wasn't, you know, but if the other guy would say to you like, hey dude, I'm nervous too, you'd probably be like, oh, you wouldn't be as nervous, you know, or you'd feel like, oh, well, I'm going to take advantage of that. Well, no matter what Jet says or acts like, dude, he's nervous, and Cooper knows it from personal experience. He's not assuming it. Cooper's been on the verge of winning his first championship, and he was probably shitting himself. And he, whether he's ever told you that, he knows it, you know, so he knows that Jet is shitting himself. So to come up there and poke him, he knows it's time to do it. And I honestly think Cooper will do it, but he likes the fact that he kind of right now can do it on the track, you know, like,
yeah.
I mean, he doesn't really have to talk and tease him because, I mean, I don't know. He doesn't really have to right now because he's a badass on the track.
Hey, thing I always tell people too, Cooper Webb is like the silent J-Law, dude, you know, with these mind games. Because Jason, you were, let's be honest, you didn't care, dude. You just told him how it was right there, you know, where Cooper's kind of like just a little silent, you know. He'll say little things under his breath a little bit, but –
Well, and you would play a lot of those games too, Jason. Like, I remember one race. I don't remember what it was. I think it was when you were racing Dungy for that title, and we were like banging on the doghouse where he was on the other side. You know, you played a lot of those games, and man, it worked.
Yeah, I mean, I think Coop does similar things to that, dude. I mean, I've seen him do some real similar things on video clips and stuff like that, and I like it, you know, like I really dig it. I like Cooper's style because he's a smaller dude and he's so like feisty, you know what I mean? He's kind of like how Vial is on the bike, but Cooper seems like he'll want to like take you in the tunnel too and put you in a headlock, you know. It's like he's a good dude for his sport.
All right, so take us through the points in this class.
All right, so you got Jet Lawrence leading at 244 points. Cooper Webb second, only 8 points down now, so he's getting close. Third, Chase Sexton, 20 points down. Fourth is Eli Tomac at 29 points down. Fifth is Ken Roczen, 42 points down. Sixth, Aaron Plessinger, 46 points down. Seventh is Jason Anderson, 56 points down. Eighth, Justin Cooper, 97 points down. Ninth, Justin Barsha at 106 down. And then 10th, Hunter Lawrence at 111. Now, one guy that's going to stand out, or one guy that I put that possibly could surprise me this weekend is, or could be a surprise, let's say, is Justin Cooper.
Okay. He's had some great rides. It's like he can't quite close it out, but he's had some races in that Triple Crown, especially the last one. I thought he was going to be on the box. I mean, he's doing great. Good starts, fast. He just making little mistakes and doesn't have the experience. He's racing against a class full of champions, you know, like it's tough.
Yeah.
I want to mention something here. So it's really a two-man race looking at this. I don't see Jet and Webb dropping 20 points to put Chase back in this. Maybe one of them cartwheels and goes out, not both of them, right? I just think that's really far-fetched. But I want to ask you guys about AC because they just announced his retirement, or he did this week. And I think with all of the issues he's had, it's probably not a huge surprise. But I have heard rumors of this, and I just got confirmation from an agent who knows is involved in the negotiations. And it sounds like Jorge Prado just signed a multi-year deal or has that offer done and ready to sign. To Monster Energy Kawasaki for the 3 years with a fourth option. I want to know from both of you guys, if that happens, and it's no surprise, like he wants to come here. He came over and did well. He's an outdoor specialist with very little supercross. He was like inside the top 10. That's pretty impressive. And I think you give him a season to prepare and come over. I don't think he wins supercross right away, but I think he starts winning outdoors right away or pushing for wins. And by year two, I think he's going to be the only guy potentially that can give Jet any kind of fits. I Hooper's about to retire. Eli's about to retire. Chase will be around. I take that back. Chase Sexton will be in that mix. But look at all the guys, Anderson, all these guys are like, maybe they eke out another season, maybe, you know, but they're about done. And so when you start looking at 2, 3 years, 4 years from now, it's going to be Jet, it's going to be Chase Sexton, and it's going to be Jorge Prado. And then by 25, let's say, if Levi Kitchen wins this title, he'll be on that factory team. So it would be Kitchen and Prado. And that's a pretty damn strong factory Cowie team. So anyway, thoughts on that? And do you think Prado's got it under the hood to take it to Jet?
Dude, I was surprised when I saw the Prado news that he signed Kawasaki, first of all, right? Because it seemed like his gas thing was so hunky-dory. He was loving it. They let him ride over here. Now he's going to come over and ride for Troy Lee, was my assumption. Then I see the Kawasaki news. I'm like, oh, that was weird, you know, but cool. You know, that's a better idea for him. And then I saw that now he's coming to America with the Kawasaki thing. I thought that meant he was staying MXGP on Kawasaki. Find that weird that I kind of thought like he came over here and he did a test ride for his American experience and he liked it. Now why go and change half of the thing? You know, like I thought that he meant he liked the setup coming and riding for Troy Lee gas. I thought that was odd.
Well, think about Cowie though. They need a guy, right? Like AC is retiring.
Yeah, they do.
Anderson's about to retire. They, from what I understand, it's like truckloads of money. It's a huge offer. Cowie needs a guy that can win. And
really?
Who are you going to get? You know?
I mean, it's hard for me to like, I mean, we've only seen him race Supercross, what, 4 rounds? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, he did good, but
4 years that he's comfortable on, you know? It's like, who's to say he's even going to be that same rider on an aluminum frame bike? You know, that's a big change to make, and then come over here and assume it's still going to be that good. You know, some growing pains with that, wouldn't you think?
It's hard to say. All I can tell you is, I mean, you watch the GPs, it sounds like. Have you seen what he's doing to that field over there? Those guys aren't slow.
Yeah.
And he's waxing ass.
No, he kills
it. Yeah.
But to see him change to Kawasaki and win the championship would be, you know, like a pretty big feat, or yeah, I wouldn't expect it. You know, I would think them, you know, changing that bike is a big change. Maybe he'll struggle a little bit, but to say he's going to change that bike and then also change and come over here, that's a big ask. You know, like that's like changing a lot. You know, it's like you're going to what, leave your Spanish girlfriend there and get a new girlfriend here too. You know, it's going to be a lot of change.
Nah, she's pretty. You're going to want to keep her. She's very pretty.
yeah.
I think there's something to that for sure, but that dude's a good rider. Like he'll figure that
he
out.
Is.
I don't think he's coming over in 25 and going to win. I'm not saying that, but I think by 26, look out. That's my opinion.
Ping 2025 outdoors. I do feel like he could win that though. He can win that.
I agree. I still think I would probably say Jet or Chase has just because they know all the tracks. He's going to have to go through that whole season of figuring the
dude, I wouldn't
out.
Put my money on anybody to win their first year over here. No way.
No.
You know, I don't care how good you are. It's just like, you're not going to go over there and win your first year either. You know, like Hurlings can come over here and win a race, but it's like, who's to say you'd be able to do it our whole year? You know, the formats are so much different.
Yeah.
That, I don't know.
Well, it'll be something first to watch as we start to see like some of these guys, these older guys, call it quits. We're going to have to. We're going to be looking for someone who can compete with Jet. So, all right. You like Cooper Webb, Jason. That's what you're saying. Both of you guys. You think if right now you had to put cash on the table, you're a Cooper Webb guy.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Cooper Webb could be like anywhere within 20 points or really 25 points right now. And I would be like, oh, okay. You know, I'm still going with Webb. And the fact that it's 8 points, he could just win out and literally just win the races. Dude, I think he's got it here, bud. He's got a fast teammate. You mentioned Justin Cooper. That's another one, like another good starter. Dude, he's up there.
Yep.
Bobby Reagan, I think he wants a plate on that door, dude. And I mean, he's pretty straightforward when he tells his riders what he wants. You know, if he wants Justin Cooper to ride a certain way, then he'll probably ride a certain way. I don't think Eli would do that, but Eli can have a bigger impact by just beating him.
Yeah, Justin Cooper could too. But that's where I was at, Jason, is like that question I had asked earlier, like would Tomac help him out? I could see Justin Cooper 100% helping him out, dude. You know?
Yeah, more so than Tillman. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Well, all right. I'm gonna go.
Because Justin Cooper, wait, let's hold up. He already doesn't like him, right? Doesn't he kind of not like him? I know for a fact that they had this little beef where Cooper won at Thunder Valley and he brought his dog up on the podium. Jet Lawrence said, like, yo, this is unprofessional. And he then the next weekend, Cooper like came with his butt patch of his dog on his butt.
That's right.
They were beefing. It kind of went down. I don't really think he likes him that much. And you got to think about it from Cooper's perspective. He was in it for the title with him outdoors that year. And then he got hurt. And then was in it. And then this year, he gets hurt in the outdoors when he's pretty much, you know, was really in it to win the 250 title. And he's watching Jet go undefeated. And he knows in his head, or at least he thinks in his head, dude, I'm on that guy's level. You know, and then he keeps seeing what he's doing. And in his head, he probably thinks, and maybe rightfully so, that he could be doing everything Jet's doing because he's done it before. He's beat him, you know. Mm-hmm. So I could see him elevating his game. And when he does, it could be up there with him. Nobody's definitely fast enough to – it's not going to be like a Vince Freese take you out of the race type thing, like hit you while you're going by. I mean, he's fast and he's a good starter. And plus there's the fact, too, of when Jet messes up, if Jet messes up, I should say, then he finishes, you know, say like sixth or seventh, well, there's a good chance that two of those bikes are going to be star bikes that beat him, you know. So just that's a big help that he has teammates in a sense like that. At the most, Jet's going to get the help of Hunter – get in between them just as likely, but still half the chance.
Man, you've got some good points, man. I completely forgot about that dog debacle.
Yeah.
That's good stuff, man. All right. Well, I'm going with Tomac for the win just because I want to see it this weekend. But where they fall behind that, I just want to see this title go down to the end. So I'd love to see Webb in front of Jet. For the sake of the points.
I mean, we're in New England. Boston is probably the most patriotic, you know, city in America. It's the Patriots Gillette Stadium, right? And I'm a Jet fan, but we are talking about the championship here going to an American or an Australian. I think it's going to be a pretty heavy Cooper Webb fan base there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't really see the Aussies being that big. And then we're going to stay in the Northeast again. I think that rallies Webb up. I know it rallies Webb up. And I think that's going to get him in the zone. And, yeah, I think he's going to play the mind games if he has to, but he knows the biggest mind game is just beating him. So, I don't know. I mean, Webb looks relaxed. He like went to a concert, did this and that. I didn't really see the same thing from Jet. So, I don't know, dude. My money is definitely on the American Cooper Webb. I think he's got two.
Yeah, we know that Jet definitely or Hunt Cooper, sorry. Cooper gets better in crunch time. Like the more pressure you put on him, he gets stronger. So I don't know. I wasn't feeling as strong about Cooper Webb as you were when we started this conversation. And now I don't know, man. You got me all spun up. I'll tell you what, I want to just close with this. I also would like to see Chase Sexton figure some things out because you know he's got the speed to run with either of these guys. It's just, I think that this switch to the new bike, I think he's got some personal stuff going on with the team and with his practice mechanic. And I think that it's not allowing him to get into the right headspace. He'll get there. I think he'll get there. And we're going to see more from him. I just hope he can do it by the end of this series so he can go into the summer kind of with a mindset that he can win again.
Well, I think that the fact that what we see with Chase Sexton and that little not decline or but the issues you're talking about, that's the same thing that you're going to see with Jorge Prado, I would think. You know, it's the same thing. You're switching manufacturers, switching teams. He was the champ. You're going to switch bikes, and you got to only expect what's happening with Sexton. You know, it's exceptional if you don't have those troubles. So for Jorge Prado, I would expect it, you know, just like I expect it with Chase, and that's what's happening. You know, but I think for Chase, it's like I wouldn't see it happening as far as getting a big gift, but you never know. You know, you never know what goes on with these guys. So being within a race is, look how Chase got it last year. Shit, what are we saying? He knows it better than anybody. You can get it.
It's true. It's very true. All right. So for this weekend, you guys both going for a Cooper Webb win. That's your pick if you're laying money down.
Yeah, I'm going.
Bruce, you're going with Cooper Webb this weekend. If we have to make a pick for this weekend, I'd probably even say like Tomac. I'm just saying Cooper Webb for this title, man. Ooh, definitely for the title. It don't even matter about this race as far as the title goes, just Cooper being in it. If he beats him and wins this race, that's real bad news for Jet. But for this race, I think maybe I'll go with Eli. But title wise, Cooper's.
I'm gonna go Webb, Tomac, Jet.
This weekend? All right. I'm going Tomac Webb Jet. So Yamaha heavy. Not really just I want to see Eli get some more wins and I want to see that championship chase tighten up. We like to just give our picks so the folks out there, if you're doing fantasy or laying some money down on this stuff, you can at least blame us if we get it wrong because we don't care.
All right, well, I'll go Tomac, Webb, and then somebody other than Jet. I'll go Sexton.
Ooh.
All right. It's possible. It's
Ooh.
totally possible.
Hating on Jet. I'm just saying, I'm not hating on Jet. I love this dude's style, but I'm saying for right now, it's like he's got to slow down it's coming off the rails right now, you know? Just not even his fault, but it's like, look at the points. You know, Johnny O'Mara, he knows that. He's not going to be telling him, go out there and you know, it's like stop the bleeding mode, I would assume. So for Jet, I don't think you're going to see the top-notch Jet. And I think if you see a technical track, like you're definitely going to see, if you don't see a mudder, he's not going to be wanting to ride out of his zone and make the mistakes that got him where he's gotten, like the Seattle mistake, you know, track might be similar. Or even last week, like that could change how he wants to ride in the beginning of the race. You know, like realizing that, hey, you could get bam bam by accident like that, you know, or I don't know if we all agree it was on accident, but that's going to change how he rides a little bit. Could, you know, so you might see a little different Jet. And I think they're going to be advising him to don't go for the gusto right here. You know, this is another one to just get like a third or something like that. And I think that might lead to him, you know, being not up in the front and not riding like himself and could open the door big time. You know, if we see a dry track, I think you're going to see a Jet display though. Like, I think you'll see Jet really smoke them just because the track would lend itself to them so much.
That's good stuff, man. I really appreciate the feedback, dude. I would say maybe one of the most articulate guests we've had when it comes to, you know,
100%.
I like it.
My favorite, that's for sure.
All right. Well,
My
listen,
favorite guest.
I want to thank our sponsors one more time here, Rock and Turf. If you guys need artificial grass, hardscape, check out at Rock and Turf on Instagram. Maxxis tires, mountain bike tires, truck tires. If you need them, hit them up. Maxxis.com and also speedstrap.com. Killer tie downs, toe straps. Everybody should have that stuff in their truck, both of those things. So support those guys for supporting us. And big thank you to Jason Lawrence. Oh, man, that was great. I want to have you back on, man. That was a really good breakdown. And maybe let's bring you back in a few weeks for riders meeting. And we can talk about what happened at one of these last few events.
Oh yeah, the riders meeting. I could make one of those. I haven't been to many, but I've caught more riders meetings than
Hey, we do
you.
attendance. We do you know, roll call. All right, man. Thanks so much,
All
buddy.
right, dude.
For Bruce and myself, thank you guys for tuning in and enjoy the races this weekend. We'll see you guys Monday for riders meeting. So long.